We'll turn again, please, to that passage we read earlier, to the book of Joshua, to the chapter number 22. With God's word open before us, let us bow together, just in a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence already with us today. Lord, intensify and increase that sense of Thy presence, Lord, among us. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy word today. Thy word is truth. We acknowledge, O God, that it is forever settled in heaven. Lord, increase our desire, O God, after Thy word and after Thy truth and after the ways of the Lord. To this end, O God, cleanse me afresh in the precious blood. Fill me, O God, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. Give help, enablement, all that is needed and required to preach forth Thy word today as a dying man to a dying people, we pray. The Lord, use Thy word, O God, to the salvation of souls. Use Thy word to the building up and strengthening of the saints of God in Zion. Lord, use Thy word, O God, to the glorifying of Christ, in whose name we do pray and we do ask all these things. Amen. Now at the end of his earthly life, Joshua, he gives good advice to the people of Israel. Joshua himself was a godly man. He was a man who walked with God here on earth. He was a man who proved the Lord, not only in the good times, but in the difficult times. If you look at the end of chapter 21 and the verse 45, he says, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." Now it was a privilege for Israel to have the guidance of Joshua. Therefore it was wise for them to heed his counsel. Can I say that in this matter there's a vital lesson for every believer in seeking good counsel for life? The believer should follow the example of those who also bear a good testimony here on earth. Now, at the beginning of Joshua chapter 22, we have Joshua's message to the soldiers of the 2.5 tribes that had settled on the eastern side of the river Jordan. "My, whenever the land of Canaan had rest from war..." Verse 1 of chapter 22 says there, "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh." Now these 2.5 tribes had their inheritance on the eastern side of the river Jordan, and they had attained that inheritance before the rest of Israel crossed over the river Jordan unto the west to gain the land for their own possession. And in conquering the rest of the land of Canaan, Moses commanded these 2.5 tribes to assist and to help the other 9.5 tribes settle on the west bank of the river Jordan. And in agreement with that wish and command of Moses, they send an army of 40,000 soldiers to help their brethren in the west and to conquer the land there. Back in chapter 4 in the verses 12 and 13 it says, "And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho." After the land is subdued and conquered and given to Israel, this army is now free to return back home again. But before they return, Joshua calls them together and he gives them some very good counsel. And it is this godly counsel to this army that I want us to consider today, for it is vital lessons, I believe, for God's people today. First thing I want you to notice here, that in his counsel, Joshua praises these soldiers for their service. They had been faithful to the command of Moses. Look at the beginning of verse 2 in the chapter. It says, "And he said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you." Now back in Numbers chapter 32, Moses sought the help of these men, these soldiers. And in verse 25 of that same chapter, they responded to that cry for help by saying, "Thy servants will do as my Lord commanded." They were true to the word. They went out and they helped and they rose up to the rallying call of Moses. They said they would go and help, and that's what they did do. They were true to their word and helping Moses and their fellow Israelites conquer the land. They were true to their word and to their testimony. Can I say this is to be the testimony of every believer? As God's people, our word is to be trusted. Our word is to be dependable. Our word is to be truthful. Years ago it was said that the word of an Englishman was his bond, and this should also be the case with us who are saved, who name the name of Christ. We are to follow the testimony of David, who in verse 30 of Psalm 119 said, "I have chosen the way of truth." Yes, these soldiers were praised because they were faithful to the command of Moses. Notice something else there from verse 2. They were also loyal to Joshua himself. For Joshua goes on to say, "And you have obeyed," notice it, "my voice in all that I commanded you." Whenever Moses died, they pledged allegiance to Joshua, his successor. Back in chapter 1, they said, "According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee." In an army, whatever that army is, the generals, the commanders, the leaders may change. But the soldiers continue on to fight. They continue on to follow orders for the greater good of their cause and the battle and the warfare that they may be engaged in. Likewise, dear believer, in God's work, you and I are not to follow people. You and I are to follow the Lord. Remember what is said in Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 2 to the Christian, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And dear people, no matter what changes occur in God's work regarding people or regarding personnel, we are to go on serving Christ. We are to go on living for the Lord. They were faithful to the command of Moses. They were loyal to Joshua, his successor. But notice something else here about these soldiers and their praise. They were devoted to their brethren. Look at the beginning there of verse 3 of the chapter. Notice what Joshua says. He says, "Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day." Notice that phrase, "many days." And that refers to a period of some 7 years. In all those years, they supported their brethren in the battle to take the land. Through thick and through thin, they were at the side of their fellow tribesmen and the other tribes who were seeking to gain a foothold on the land west of the River Jordan. They were faithful to their brethren. And surely in this, there's a wonderful example for God's people to follow in the local church and in the local assembly. We are to support each other. We are to help each other. We are to encourage each other in all the changing scenes of life, and especially so in the work of God. Remember the counsel of Paul to the Galatian church. He said, "As we have opportunity, therefore, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We are to support each other in the Christian walk and in our work and witness for Christ. Can I say also within the context of marriage, husbands and wives are to support each other. They are to help each other. They are to encourage each other all the days of their earthly life together. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing to wives and to husbands, and he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands in the Lord." He says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." my husbands and wives in particular, are to support and to help and to encourage each other along life's sojourn. They were devoted to their brethren. They were loyal to Joshua. They were faithful to the command of Moses. But notice something else in the praise of these soldiers. They were dedicated to the Lord. Look at what Joshua says about them at the end of verse number 3. He says, "But ye have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God." This was the secret behind them having a right relationship with Moses, with Joshua, and with their brethren in the nation of Israel. And likewise, dear people of God, if you and I are to have a right relationship with others, then it starts with you and I having a right relationship with God. It means you and I living in fellowship with Christ. The Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways." And as we fear the Lord and walk with the Lord will bless us in our ways and in our transactions with others. John says in 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." And by the key to us having a right relationship with others, with our fellow believers and with others that we interact with in our daily life, is us maintaining our fellowship with God and walking with the Lord in the light of his word and the light of his truth. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting this morning, and friend, you're unsaved. Let me say this, that if you are to have a right relationship with others, the starting place for you is repentance toward God and saving faith and saving trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And all through his word, the Lord exhorts you, he invites you to come to him for salvation alone. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You turn over there to Isaiah chapter number 55 and to the verses 6 and 7. Look at what the Lord says there. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Friend, if you come to Christ, repenting of your sins, acknowledging your sins to God, and trust in the blood and the sacrifice of Christ alone upon the cross, praise God, the Lord will save you. He will abundantly pardon your sins. He'll bring you into the family and fold of God. He will set you on the way to heaven, on the way to glory. Oh, the importance of trusting Christ. There's nothing more important this side of eternity than for you to be saved, to know the Lord as your Savior and your sins forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, we see here in his counsel how Joshua praises these soldiers for their service. But look again at Joshua chapter 22 in the second place. In his counsel, I want you to see how Joshua discharges these soldiers from their service. Look at verse 4 and look at what he says to them in verse 4 of the chapter. It says, "And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and into the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of Jordan." There you see from those words, these soldiers were now discharged from their military duty. They were now allowed to return home. I want you to think about that. In that discharge, there would have been joy. I'm sure you've all seen the scenes, maybe on television or in the press or whatever, of soldiers returning home from a tour of duty, be it Afghanistan, Iraq, or somewhere else. As they meet together with their family and their friends and their loved ones, there's joy, there's jubilation, there's elation. Well, it would have been the same for these soldiers in being allowed to return home to their families. Would have been joy in their hearts of meeting with family and friends and loved ones again. You know, that joy surely reminds us as believers of the joy of heaven. When all our battles and all our trials on life are over. David spoke of that joy at the end of Psalm 16 when he said, "In thy presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at thy right hand." The hymn writer spoke of that joy as well, speaking of the believer in heaven, said, "What rejoicing in his presence are banished, grief and pain." Praise God, when you're saved in this meeting this morning, you can look forward to the joy of heaven, the joy of glory, meeting with Christ, meeting even with other loved ones who have gone on before. Yes, in this discharge there would have been joy. Notice something else here in their discharge, there was an entreaty. You see that entreaty in the very middle there of verse number 4, where Joshua speaks to them. And he says, "Return you and get you unto your tents." These men were to go home to their families. And that is very significant. It shows us here Joshua was a man who had a concern for the well-being of the family unit in Israel. What a concern that was. Dear people, we live in a day when the devil is doing all he can to break up families and break up marriages as never before, especially even in Christian homes and Christian families. The attack is on as never before. That's the devil's work, to bring families apart and marriages apart. And why is that the strategy of Satan? Why is that attack and that onslaught so fierce? Why? Well, because a strong Christian family and a strong Christian home, it leads to a strong church and it leads to a strong nation. And that is why the devil is out to wreck homes and families and marriages. Indeed, it was Richard Baxter who said that holy families must be the chief preservers of the interest of religion in the world. Oh, child of God, if ever there was a day when you and I needed to pray for the protection and the keeping together of Christian families and marriages, it is today. That's a work that we need to engage in prayer. Indeed, in light of this, every Christian father, every Christian husband, every Christian mother, every Christian wife must take time for each other and for their homes and for their families that God has given to them. That's the instruction of God's word. Turn with me over, please, to 1 Peter and to the chapter number 3 and to the verse number 7. And here Peter is counseling the relationship between the husband and the wife. Something that we often read at a marriage ceremony, but it is most applicable for us all, no matter how long we've been married or even if we're only contemplating marriage. He says in 1 Peter chapter 3 in the verse 7, he says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," that's the wife, "according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Yes, in this discharge to these soldiers, there was elation, there was joy. There was an entreaty. But something else here to note from Joshua chapter 22, in this discharge to these soldiers, there was also a vindication. Look at what Joshua says to them at the end of verse number 4. He says, "Return," he says, "unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan." You notice very carefully the language that Joshua uses. He says, "Return," he says, "unto your possession." Joshua here vindicates the courage and the faithfulness of these soldiers. They had sacrificed the comfort of home and family and friends and loved ones for some 7 years. But now they could return home to their possession, to their inheritance, knowing that they had done their work well. Knowing that they had done their duty well. Oh, believer, in seeking to live for Christ, live for the Lord, yes, others may misunderstand you as a believer. Others may even malign you and ridicule you and scorn you as a Christian. And that happens to the believer as they seek to stand for God and live for God and do the will of God and live for His Word. But child of God, your chief concern in all of this should be to please the Lord at all times.
Yes, you and I are to obey the Lord. You and I are to do what's right in the sight of God, and we're to leave the consequences with God Himself. And dear people, if we do that, then God gives us a wonderful promise in His Word. He says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." What an honorable discharge these soldiers had. Yes, they are priests. They are given an honorable discharge. But notice thirdly here from Joshua chapter 22, notice that in their counsel to them, Joshua gives these soldiers direction for conduct in their future life. They just weren't left. He goes on to give them great counsel for conduct in their future life. They were to obey God's commands and God's law. Look at the beginning of verse 5. He says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you." Go on down further, that same verse it says, "And to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments." That was the counsel. Go on living for God's word, God's commandments, God's law. Believer, can I say this is how you and I also are to live our Christian lives as well. We are to obey God's commands. Can I say that is vital for us to live a holy life? That is vital for us to have a useful life, a blessed life, a testimony that honors God. You remember what John says about God's law and commandments in 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 3. He says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Christian, let that sink into your mind, your heart. The commandments of God are not grievous. They're for your good, my good, for your welfare, for our welfare as the people of God. Can I say that is how our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, lived here on earth? Remember what He said to His Heavenly Father? He said, "I do always those things that please Him." That was His testimony, and He's our example. You think this morning of the example of a professional footballer. When he breaks the rules of the game, he brings the game and the sport that he's involved in into disrepute before the world. And likewise, dear people of God, if we forsake God's commandments, if we forsake God's law, if we willingly and willfully break the commandments of God, what do we do? We bring disrepute upon the name of Christ and upon the cause of Christ before the world. That's what happens. Now, God's people are to live by the commandments and the law of God until Jesus calls them home, or until Jesus comes again in power and in great glory. Yes, they were to obey God's commands. They were to love the Lord. Notice the middle there of verse number 5. Notice what Joshua says to him. He says, "And to love the Lord your God." Likewise, we're to do the same. When we're saved, we're to love the Lord. Three times over in John chapter 21, Christ asked the question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And what does that question mean to us who are saved? It means the Lord alone is to be the chief affection in our heart and in our life. And proof of that love will be seen. It will be evident. It will be worked out in our obedience to Christ. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 14. You'll see that for yourself in the verses 23 and verses 24. Look at what Christ says there. In verse 23 of John chapter 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings." How do we prove our love to Christ before the world? We prove our love to Christ before the world by our obedience to Christ. They were to love the Lord, these soldiers. They were to obey God's commands. They were to be faithful to the Lord. Look again at Joshua chapter 22 and the verse number 5. Look at the latter part of that verse. Joshua says to him that you are to cleave unto him. Notice that word cleave. The meaning of that word cleave literally means to glue together. The thought of two items, two objects been joined together. Why, as these soldiers had been faithful to the Lord in their military duties, so they were to be also faithful and true to the Lord in their civil and in their private duties. Can I say that is how it was also with Christ, our dear Savior? He was faithful and true to the Father's will right until the end of his earthly life. Right until the very death that he offered up upon the cross of Calvary, when he cried out, "It is finished." Likewise, dear child of God, you and I are to be faithful to the Lord. We're to cleave to the Lord. Christian, you and I are not to cleave to the world. We're not to cleave to the ideals and the ideology and the false teachings of men. No. You and I are to cleave to the Lord. New Testament, Paul speaks about a certain individual. His name is called Demas. And there was a time when he cleaved to Paul in the work of God and in his witness for Christ. Then something happened. And he cleaved to the world. And what did Paul say about Demas? He says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed." The world took over his life, and he departed the work of God and his witness for Christ. Believer, if it could happen to a man like Demas, it can happen to you and I as well. Therefore, we need to take heed as God's people. You follow the counsel of Barnabas to the church in Antioch. And what did he say to them in Acts chapter 11, verse 23? He said this, that with purpose of heart, they were to cleave unto the Lord. That's how it was with these soldiers. That's how it should be with you and I. Notice something else here. Not only were they to be faithful and cleaving to the Lord, they were to serve the Lord. Look at the end of verse number 5 of Joshua chapter 22. He says, and serve him, notice it, with all your heart and with all your soul. Although they were released from military duty, they were to serve the Lord until their dying day. And child of God, believer in Christ, you and I are to do the same. In Psalm 100 and verse 2 it says, serve the Lord with gladness. We're to do it cheerfully, with gladness of heart. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. We're to serve the Lord earnestly, as it says here before us, with all our heart, with all our soul. Now we're to go the second mile for Christ. We're to be willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ and the work of God. O child of God, and all that Christ has done for you and I in saving us and in redeeming us, can we do any less? The hymn writer says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Yes, conduct for life, an honourable discharge, praise in the service of duty. But notice one final thing here in his counsel to these soldiers from Joshua chapter 22. Notice their recompense for service. Their recompense was blessed. They were blessed. Look at how verse 6 begins. It says, so Joshua blessed them. You read again of those similar words at the end of verse 7. It says, and he blessed them. And serving the Lord, they were blessed. Their recompense not only was blessed, their recompense was great. Look at verse 8 of the chapter. And as you read through verse 8, notice how Joshua mentions on three occasions the word much in this verse number 8. Says, and he said unto them, saying, return, notice it, with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold, and with brass, and with iron, and with very much raiment. They were blessed in a mighty way. You see, people, the Lord is no man's debtor. You remember that, Christian, and serving the Lord. The Lord is no man's debtor. Turn with me over to Ruth chapter 2. Just over a little bit from our Bible reading this morning. Ruth chapter 2 and the verse number 12. And look at the promise that was given to Ruth as she stepped out from Moab for God and served the Lord in her day and generation. The It says, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee, as the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." God blesses those who serve Him. You know, dear people of God, if we rob the Lord of His day of worship, if we rob the Lord of that hour that is due to Him of fellowship in the midweek, if we hold back in our service for God, what do we do as Christians? We shortchange ourselves. We rob ourselves of the blessing of God. But dear people of God, if we put the Lord first in everything, we will know the promise of the fullness of His blessing. What did Jesus say to the disciples? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Remember the words of the psalmist in Psalm 84 in the verse 11. "The Lord is good. The Lord is a sun and a shield, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." And by these soldiers, they proved the reality of that promise. The recompense was blessed. The recompense was great. But notice something else here from Joshua chapter 22. From the latter part there of verse number 8, you'll see that the recompense was to be shared. Look at what Joshua says to them at the end of verse 8. He says, "Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren." It was to be shared out, the blessing. You know what, dear believer? The Lord blesses you and I. Why? Why does He bless us? So that we can share our blessings with others. He blesses us in a material sense that we can give to His work. The Bible says to the Christian, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse of God." He blesses us in our personal life so that we can help others. The Bible says to the Christian, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works." He's blessed us as Christians in so many ways. Why? That in our daily life and wherever the Lord would lead us and guide us, we might be a witness for Him and hold forth the Word of God. Turn over there to Philippians chapter 2 and the verse number 16. And look at what Paul says here to the Christians in Philippi, and applies to you and I as believers here in Market Hill. The beginning of verse 16 of Philippians 2. He says, "Holding forth." I mean, sharing out, holding up, spreading abroad the word of life, the word of the gospel, the word of God. In closing this morning, dear people, I direct your minds to that woman in Scripture who broke the alabaster box, a very costly box of ointment. As in this note, she was ridiculed and she was criticized by the disciples for doing so. They said it was a waste. But she anointed the feet of the Savior with that box of alabaster ointment. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say about her? He said these words. He says, "She have done what she could." She did what she could. Dear people of God, whether our time on earth be long or short, I trust the epitaph will be able to be written upon our tombstone, upon our gravestone. "He or she has done what they could for Christ and for His cause and for His kingdom here on earth." That's all that matters. These soldiers were faithful in their day and generation. Their testimony is recorded here in Scripture for you and I. By God's grace, by God's power, may we be those in our home, in our community, in God's work here, and wherever else the Lord leads us, to be those who do what we can for the cause of Christ, for the glory of His name, and for the spread of His glorious gospel. We're just going to close our meeting this